Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Aux Cord Approved, the place that we live and breathe music. I am Isaiah, and today we are here to talk with a very special guest about a couple things. She's been in a certain house for a couple months, and she is a huge fan of music. She's a dancer, does a bunch of different stuff, and I was like, why don't we try to get her on a podcast to see what she feels with a couple of these albums? So today, I have the fantastic and amazing Hannah Chadha. Hannah, how are you doing today?
Hi, Isaiah. I'm doing so well. I'm really excited to be here because this is something that I've never gotten to sit down and talk about. And music is such a big part of my life, being a dancer. So thank you for having me. Let's get into it.
Absolutely. Now, I mean, I've been seeing you on social media like everyone else. You do a lot of dancing on TikTok, Twitter, and all that stuff. Yeah. Since you've been out the house, I mean, what have you been listening to? I'm sure that was like a huge time travel almost, seeing like all this new stuff come out.
Yes, it is weird because being in that house for like 3 months, 3.5 months, there's almost like a huge chunk of time that's just missing from my brain in terms of news and current events and pop culture, including music. So coming out of the house, I've had to play catch up a lot with albums like Planet Her by Summer Walker, Certified Lover Boy by Drake. What else? Still Over It by, Planet Her by Doja Cat. Certified Lover Boy by Drake. Still Over It by Summer Walker. I think Normani released some music while we were in the house. Lil Nas X released Montero, and Lil Nas X is just the best ever. Jack Harlow released new music. DaBaby got canceled, and I was a huge DaBaby fan before going on the show. And in the house, I would talk about him and his music all the time. Mm-hmm. So then, coming out of the house, people were like, "Okay, who's going to let her know that he was canceled?" And he deserves to be canceled. So I've stopped listening to him, but he was like a big part of my musical collection before this summer. So I've had to, you know, shift my focus elsewhere.
Now, do you feel like you're almost like on like fast forward, like you're trying to play catch up a little bit, or like, I don't know, is it a little overwhelming to you?
Absolutely. I mean, a funny story is so Industry Baby, I guess, came out, like that was the song of the summer, apparently. And I guess it came out like right at the end of June, right at the beginning of July, as soon as we started filming. But we didn't hear Industry Baby for the first time till we essentially got out of the house. And that was at the beginning of October. It was like the last day of September, first day of October. So we were like, oh my God, we love this song. Like, have you guys heard Industry Baby? Have you heard Industry Baby? We're like, that song's been out for like 4 months or like 3 months. So just little things like that where I'm like, oh, okay, let me do my research and then I'll get back to you.
See, I'm actually like a huge Jack Harlow fan, just for like a sidebar. Like, I've been listening to him before he was even big, and like, it's crazy to see him. Yeah, like, it's crazy to see how big he got. Like, he was like on SoundCloud for a little bit. So,
I didn't know that. I mean, he's so pure that I just want him to do well.
Absolutely. Yeah. Now, I sent you a bunch of albums because I was like, all right, I don't know what Hannah wanted to listen to or she has listened to. Now, I think we picked one, but before we do, out of curiosity, out of this list, which were some of the ones that you really liked? I know we spoke about the Summer Walk one, Still Over It. We spoke a little about Planet Her, which by the time this comes out, the Doja Cat episode has already come out. How do you feel about all those albums?
Okay, so with Still Over It, I'm not going to lie, I liked over it more, but I also haven't listened to all of Summer Walker's new album. So maybe it's just one of those works of art that continues to get better as you progress through the album. So yeah, TBD on Still Over It, but I love Summer Walker. I love her collab with SZA. What's the song called? No Love, I think.
I think that's the one you're talking about. Yep.
Yeah, No Love. Mm-hmm. And then I also like her two songs, Reciprocate and You Don't Know Me, because they're very reminiscent of Summer Walker's first album. And mm-hmm. that's like one of my favorite albums of all time. It was in my HOH basket. in HOH a second time. Otherwise, you know, I could have gotten to listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so those are my thoughts on Still Over It. I'll get back to you once I finish listening to the album. Planet Her is such like a fun, sensual album. And the thing that I love about Doja Cat is she can really do it all. She can sing, she can rap. You can tell that some of her music is influenced by Afro beats. Her and I are both South African.
Okay.
So I wonder how much of like our culture has influenced her music. I wouldn't say that her album has like a purpose or like there's this overlying message. I think it's just something that you can dance to, something that's fun and lighthearted, but she's great. I feel like the only person who can quite switch it up like Doja Cat is Nicki mm-hmm. Minaj. Like Nicki yes. Minaj and Doja Cat are the only people that I know of that have that range and versatility. So I love Doja Cat, love her. And on all of her collaborations, I feel like she adapts her sound to fit that artist. So she can really just do no wrong.
Doja is probably one of the most talented I've seen in a while. Like yes. she started out like a meme rapper a little bit with Mill. Mm-hmm. But I think she really took the industry by storm. And, you know, I think she's really just going to be a force to be reckoned with for a while. So I'm just glad to see her success and everything she's got going on.
Yeah.
So without further ado, I mean, I guess we can start talking about the album today. So I got you to listen to Certified Lover Boy actually for the first time.
Yeah.
Drake, that album has about 21 songs. It's mm-hmm. about like an hour, 30 minutes. What is your history with Drake? I mean, let's talk about it.
Let's talk about my history with Drake. Okay, so Drake came out with, what was his album in 2010?
You are thinking about Take Care.
No, not Take Care. The one that he came out with before.
Oh, is it? God, you're talking.
It has like Find Your Love, Best I Know.
Thank Me Later.
There
you go.
Thank Me Later. Okay, yeah. So mm-hmm. I've been listening to Drake since Thank Me Later.
Okay.
And I loved his music in 2010. I loved that album, which might have actually been an EP, not 100% sure. I loved Take Care. Loved it. I would play it like every single week until 2013, I want to say. Mm-hmm. And then Nothing Was the Same. Loved that one, too. I even loved his little mixtape with Future.
Okay. I know.
You're Time talking, Live.
Yes.
And then I loved his album, If You're Reading This, It's Too Late. I loved Take Care. Like, I've just loved Drake until 26. Actually, no. I loved More Life, too, because More Life okay. of Afrobeats influence. And I know he worked with a couple South African producers.
Yeah.
So like I said, I was kind of able to hear my mom's music in some of the songs on his album. And I recognized some of the producer names. I was like, oh, Black Coffee. Wait a second. I know who that is. He's really big in my mom's country. So yeah, I've been like a Drake stan since 2017. And then he just kind of fell off for me. What I love about Drake's old music is how he's able to kind of blend different genres. He can do rap. He can do art, mm-hmm. do alternative R&B. He switches between like singing and rapping. And then after 2018, I felt like he stopped doing the singing, stopped doing the blending, and just stuck to rap, which in my opinion, he isn't. You know, the best rapper of all time. I don't feel like that's where he shines.
Okay.
And then all of his music just started sounding repetitive and the same. And I felt like he was making music and putting out music just to make money, just to keep getting that check, versus making like quality music that he spent a lot of time producing. Mm-hmm. So I haven't really listened to Drake since 2017, to be honest.
Wow. Now, first of all, I'm glad that I'm talking to like a stan a little bit, because I can nerd out. With Drake, I feel like I almost had that time too, where I just took a little break from listening to him, because I'm from Philly and I'm a huge Meek Mill fan.
Okay. Do you listen to Ludfo too, or no?
One more time?
Ludfo.
Yes.
He's big in Chicago too.
Yes. 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 Yes.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, no, you're so good.
I just get excited when, you know, people know who the artists that I like are.
It's Philadelphia has a lot of people. And you were down here actually recently too, weren't you?
Yeah, and I'm going to be there next week as well.
Oh, okay. Let me know.
With Big D.
with Drake, there was, I guess, like, he's had like phases and, you know, Take Care, Nothing Was the Same. That was like more of like him feeling like he had something to prove. You know, he was still like a small time artist. He was just coming off the grassy and all that stuff. And Lil Wayne signed him, and you know, he was just going through the motions at that time. So, I definitely think that was like his time where he's like, I got to be myself. And then watching the documentary actually a couple months ago, I think it was after the fact. I think, let me see which album he created right after Take Care. I think it was Nothing Was the Same. Yes. Mm-hmm. That is where he really wanted to start incorporating his own type of sound, like this dark, vibrant, like Toronto sound, he wants to call it, because he felt like Canada didn't really have like that sound. Like it sounded like everyone else wanted to sound like someone else from like US and everything. So I think Nothing Was the Same, honestly, maybe like his prime almost. But right after that, you know, he put a, like, if you read this, it's too late. You know, it's a little chill. It was more like an EP, but I mean, it was still a fun time. And then the collab album with Future. Views, I was in college when that happened, and Views was okay. Like, you know, it still gave off like that dark, vibrant sound, but like, I feel like it was very UK inspired at the same time.
But that's what I used to love about Drake. Mm-hmm. The fact that he would take, like, you can hear in his old albums, you can hear pieces of Houston. You can hear pieces of the Caribbean, like Jamaica, dance hall, Afro beats, drill music, music from London, R&B, old school R&B, new school R&B. So that's because Drake, in my opinion, was like the one person who could just blend it all and kind of transition from one sound to the next so seamlessly. Mm-hmm. And that's what I loved about him. Because whenever I listen to music, I'm going to be honest, as a dancer, I don't listen to the lyrics. You could just say the same. You could say grape, 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 and I would not care. I'm someone who listens to like the beats, to the melody, to the harmony, to the sound, to the like the cadence and the tone and the richness. So that's what I appreciated so much about his old stuff. And I feel like now it's just very, I want a Grammy. I'm like, okay, if I wanted to hear this kind of music, I would listen to someone who honestly does it better than you.
Yeah.
You know? So that's where I'm at. But you
so were- it's like, and maybe this is a little biased, mm-hmm. because from down here, I think around the Views time was when he started beefing with Meek a little bit. And like, obviously they squashed all that stuff, but this is around the time he was facing the ghostwriting rumors. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, I will also say like around this time, cause this was like what, like 2016. Perfect. This is around 2016. XXXTentacion, if you know him, X, he started getting hot around this time as well. Mm-hmm. And then a lot of people started calling Drake out on, I guess, what was the word that people start using? Like, I don't know. He was just like biting off of people's sound. Because like, in like, I guess, you know, Drake had like a sound, and it never really bothered me. So I share a lot of ideas that you have. But a lot of people start saying that like, he's a culture vulture. That's what they called him. They were like, you're stealing sounds from Atlanta. You're stealing from Houston. Like it felt like Drake wasn't being original. And then I guess, on top of that, people start saying that his songs didn't sound like Drake anymore. Now, for me, I think that's just evolution. I think that's just naturally how artists work. But I can see why some people felt like that. And then, I mean, More Life, because I think we spoke about that a little bit as well. More Life was fun to me as well. That's also another EP, but it was just fun. It was like, I hear a lot of different sounds with that, you know?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, I'm good. You're good.
I was just going to say, I've heard the culture vulture allegations as well. Mm-hmm. And I get that, but also, as a musician, aren't you supposed to kind of draw from other cultures and draw from sounds that you like? And I don't know. I feel like that was Drake's MO, was just kind of doing that blending, doing that mixing, and like finding inspiration in every single country and every single part of our country, and kind of scooping up all of them, if that makes sense. So I never took issue with it, but now I feel like he's such a commercial artist. To me, he isn't even an artist anymore. He's just like a commercial musician. And I think that the easiest music to make is, you know, the music where you use one beat, you have one sound, and then you go, I want a Grammy, blah, 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 blah. And they don't understand. Like, anyway, I feel like that's kind of, I don't want to say that that's what he's evolved into, but it's almost like that's what he's devolved into. And that might be a hot take. I know the Drake stans are going to come for me, but I said what I said. I just feel like he's reverted to what's easy for him.
Oh, absolutely. And I think to add on to that, there was a podcast I was listening to, and I kind of agree with this point. There were like, the thing that made Drake, I guess, so digestible beforehand, other than having something to prove, was like, it almost felt like he was, I guess, charged with like a lot of like his competition. Because, you know, he had Kendrick and J. Cole, who a lot of people put those three are like the best of this generation right now. You know, and then he had like his whole little self battle of like success with like Kanye and Jay-Z and all them. Like, he really felt like he was trying to get to a certain place. But I think views onwards, like with like Scorpion and Care Pack, and, I mean, Dark Lane demo tapes and all that other stuff, and eventually Certified Lover Boy, which we're about to talk about. As you said, I think that he got to this place of success. This dude has a mansion now. He has like his own basketball court and all stuff. Like, this dude's rich. I think he's one of, if not the highest streamed artist of all time. I think if he's not there, he's on track of being there. So the dude had enough money where he bought like a Michael Jackson feature on Scorpion that like was never released. Like, he has so much money now. So I don't think he has much things like, I guess, like to the common person that like people can really relate to. So now he's kind of reverted to this place where he's just talking about, oh, I own this stuff. Oh, I'm the best. Oh, I did this, I did that. And it's like, the thing that people loved about old Drake was like, oh, like that's someone to root for. That's just like the hometown kid, you know, like it's two different sides of Drake, and it's fun to see. But at the same time, I can see why it's almost reverted to like this fast food era of music where it's like, this is cool for a little bit, but I don't really care about it anymore, you know?
That's the perfect way to describe it. The fast food era of music. Yeah, absolutely. But I do love how in Certified Lover Boy, there are certain songs where I hear like Take Care, where I hear Nothing Was the Same, where I hear If You're Reading This, It's Too Late, where I hear More Life and Views. So believe it or not, Drake redeemed himself. I really enjoyed CLB, especially the bottom half.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey, Drew Scott here, and I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price, and help you save when you bundle home and auto. kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Well, let's talk about it. I mean, so CLB, first of all, the cover is a choice. It's very
yeah, I mean, hey.
So Champagne Poetry, I thought was a really dope song. Okay. That's the opener. Mm-hmm. It was more like just him talking. Like, it felt very, because I don't know if you know about this, because you were in the house. This mm-hmm. was, they've been beefing for a while, but this was honestly almost like a response to Kanye. Go ahead, talk about it.
Okay, so I did not know that they were beefing, but mm-hmm. I did say, I like the sample that he used, and he's really just like straight rapping over a choir that's kind of like, what's the word I'm looking for? Dimmed?
Yeah, like, something like that.
Yeah, you know what I'm trying to say. Like, yeah. There's like the faint sound of a choir, and he's just rapping over it mm-hmm. Without much musical assistance at all. But it does remind me of Kanye's gospel era, and then Chance's what was that album that he did?
Coloring Book.
Yes, yeah. That's what it reminded me of.
Okay, I feel that because specifically on the switch, I felt like I was listening to like Graduation or something. Like the sample, the way the beat was going, it was almost like complete. It, like, it almost felt like homage, but like it was really like, I think him just trying to be petty. Because I've noticed with I mean, they squashed it allegedly recently, which we can talk about a little bit later. But I know specifically with the Pusha T beef, like Drake and Pusha T were beefing, and Pusha T like exposed that he had a kid and everything. Drake blames a lot of that on Kanye, because I think he got that information from Kanye, since Pusha is signed to Kanye, and Kanye has like these moments where he can be a little bit too much. He's just being shady. He does that a lot. He's just trying to get under his skin just so Kanye can blow up into media and everything. But and like there was even like this beat that Drake won it before called like I forget what it was called, but it was like this really hot beat, and then Kanye just said poopty scoop. There you go. They're so petty to each other, you know. But it was a cool opener. Honestly, one of my favorite Drake openers. What did you feel about Poppy's Home? How do you feel about that song?
Okay, so I appreciate Nicki Minaj's cameo in like her little feature in the middle of the song, because I love Nicki Minaj. Mm-hmm. But the sound for me was too simple. It was too easy, too common. By the end of the song, I was like, wait, what did I just listen to again? So I wasn't a huge Poppy's Home fan. But remember, I kind of gave you a bit of insight into how I listen to music and a little of that context where I don't pay attention to the lyrics. So you could have said the most brilliant thing in the world, and I just wouldn't have known.
It's not one of the bigger songs either, so I don't blame you. It's just there. It's filler a little bit. So,
okay.
Yeah. I think Girls Want Girls. That's another big song actually off of this, with Lil Baby, who honestly, I don't know if you knew this, but like Lil Baby's like huge right now. So,
he was kind of blowing up before going into the house. Like Lil Baby and DaBaby were neck and neck,
mm-hmm.
and then DaBaby got canceled. So Lil Baby, as you know, I can imagine, probably went like this when DaBaby went like that.
Absolutely. And the whole DaBaby stuff actually happened towards like the ending actually too, before y'all came out, which is kind of wild. But Lil Baby is just like a huge, like superstar right now. So he's doing good. That's a huge song.
I with Girls Want Girls, I like the melody.
Mm-hmm.
And it did take me back to like the 2010 to 2014 Drake era, where he sang and he rapped. But I didn't feel like Lil Baby added anything extraordinary to the sound song. He was just kind of there, did what Lil Baby does in every single song. And then so I think I would have preferred a different feature, but I liked that song.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's cool. It does its job.
Yeah.
Now, you're a Chicago person.
Yes. Lil Durk.
Lil Durk. How do you feel about him? Because he is huge, too. Like, he just, him and Baby dropped an album. Yeah, they dropped the album called The Voices of All Heroes.
Okay. I'm still good. Like, I'm still listening to music from this summer.
You are perfectly fine. You
gotta bear with me.
But yeah, he's like, if not up there with Lil Baby, he's up there too. Actually, he's had a huge year. He dropped a song called God, what was that one song he dropped with Jake? It was
Laugh Now, Cry Later.
Thank you. I was like having like a little brain fart, but yeah. He's just dropped a lot of music this year, but he's doing a great job. How did you feel about In the Bible?
Okay, so In the Bible, I love the collaboration between Drake and Giveon, especially. Lil Durk is kind of the same as Lil Baby in the sense that he does the same thing in every song. So they're very similar in that regard. That's kind of what I expected from Lil Durk. He didn't give me anything new. But because he's from Chicago and he is, in my opinion, a talented rapper, you know, I got to support. And I do want Drake and Giveon to work together in the future, but on something that's a bit more R&B based or mm-hmm. even like alternative R&B, you know, like the music that SZA and Summer Walker and Kehlani and Giveon and Brent Faiyaz make. Because I think Drake is very capable of doing something like that and doing mm-hmm. it well. He gave us Take Care. He gave us Nothing Was the Same. He kind of did it first. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'd be really curious to hear that. If Drake went back to making that kind of music, oh my God.
Well, did you listen to No Guidance?
Yeah.
It was like him and Chris Brown. That's a cool song too.
Yes. Yeah, I really liked him in that. I think that's where his skill set really just is highlighted. Not this fast food. Yeah. You know,
it sounds like he's trying to be like street a little bit sometimes. So I'm like, Drake, you're not street.
Well, we will get to knife talk. Yeah. We'll get to knife talk. But he was like, leave that to 21 Savage. Leave that to who else? Well, Chief Keef makes drill music, so he's a bit different. Plus, he hasn't released music in a long time. But like mm-hmm. that kind of rap to people like 21 Savage, who, in my opinion, do it much, much better than Drake.
Like Savage, Herbo, a lot of those people.
Well, G Herbo also makes drill-esque music, so I think something is a bit different, but I don't know. I don't want to say Blueface, because Blueface is...
Absolutely not.
It's a joke. Migos, kind of a joke, but like they make bop after bop. They're catchy because of all the ad-libs. I guess 21 Savage is like the main person I can think of who makes like street rap, but mm-hmm. because of his actual experiences living in Zone 6, even like Gucci Mane, they're more believable, they're more authentic. It doesn't seem like they're trying too hard or like they're biting off of someone else's sound. I would also love to see Drake work with Black with a 6.
Okay.
I would love to see that.
I think that would be a fun one.
Yeah.
And also, I mean, we spoke about, but I think Durk is also up there too with 21 with the street type music. Yeah.
Yeah. No, Lil Durk is great. Polo G.
Yes.
I mean, King Von passed.
So unfortunately. Yeah.
But yeah, those three are really just killing it right now.
I am. So, I mean, there's a couple other songs on here. I mean, we can just fast. We'll dissect the ones that are really good. But Love All, I mean, that's an okay song. I think he just wanted a song with Jay-Z just because he feels like he's competing with him a little bit for success. So, I mean, did you care for that one too much?
I honestly did. I didn't expect to like it, but I guess I was surprised by it. Like, I just didn't expect that from the two of them. I didn't even expect a collaboration between the two of them. So the fact that it was on the album, I was like, oh, thanks, Ray.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
So Fair Trade's a huge song. It's a huge song. It's Travis Scott. Obviously Travis is in a little bit of hot water right now. But it's a pretty big song. I think it's honestly, if I'm gonna be honest, it's a sicko mode part two a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like they just wanted like a rage song, and I mean, it does a job.
I mean, the way their sounds work together never disappoints me. Mm-hmm. Like you said, it did its job. You knew what you were gonna get. You got it. Time to move on. Not one of my favorite songs on the album, mm-hmm. but I still liked it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think it's ever going to be able to be performed like in the setting that they want anymore, since all the Travis stuff is going on.
Mm-hmm, which is so unfortunate. Yeah,
absolutely. But you know, rage song. Mm-hmm. This. So the fact that I feel like this is the quote unquote big song, Way Too Sexy. Honestly, it complements your point with this him going so commercial now, because every other album, like, yeah, God's Plan and all the other stuff, like, though, he usually has something, I guess, a little bit more substance, mm-hmm. to come off to be like the big it song off of the album. But the fact that Way Too Sexy is like the biggest song on here, I'm like, all right, like, what direction is Drake going in? Like,
Drake makes TikTok music now. I mean, Way Too Sexy, yeah. Like, I remember teaching all of the house guests that dance. a couple weeks after we left, I was like, okay, guys, like, Way Too Sexy is just the TikTok song. We're going to learn this dance. Yeah, so this is what Drake has come to. This is what he does now. He makes TikTok songs.
It's not that good.
Way Too Sexy is a fun song. Like, it's not meant to be taken seriously. It's yeah. It has future on it. So I like it.
Okay.
Because I can, you know, we did dance. Yeah. Yeah.
For those of you who are listening, Hannah just did the TikTok dance. So
yeah. Yes, I did. I did the Way Too Sexy TikTok dance. No, it's fun.
No, it's cool. You know, the music video is fun. He had like Kawhi Leonard and a couple of people, Young Thug and all of them on there. So, it, you know, it was a moment.
Uh-huh. But I mean, it's not good.
It's no.
I like it.
Fun. Yeah. Absolutely. So a couple more of these songs. I mean, now these songs, I mean, you could stop me if any of these like really like touch you or anything. But these were like really filler songs, I guess, which is TSU, mm-hmm. Into Deep, mm-hmm. Pipe Down, and Yiba's Heartbreak. So, I mean, did any of those songs really get you? I mean, they're very fillerish. I don't think a lot of people listen to them that much. I mean, this is a 21 song album, so like, you know, some people are gonna have their favorites, some people are not. But I mean, what did you like any of those?
Well, with In Too Deep, he switched up the sound halfway through, kind of reminded me of Sicko Mode, because you know how mm-hmm. it's like three separate songs in one. So I was like, okay, thanks for essentially giving us a two in one. With Pipe Down, I was like, wow, Drake is just really in his feels. So wonder what that's about, but again, didn't really stand out to me. With TSU at that point, I was like, okay, the songs are just starting to blend in my head and I can't tell the difference between them. The sound is getting a bit repetitive. Can we just end the album? Mm-hmm. And then with Yeba's Heartbreak, it sounds like any one of Drake's interludes. He always does an interlude on like Views, More Life. So, I liked the piano. I liked the melody. But like you said, those four to me are more like filler songs.
Yeah, no doubt. Mm-hmm. So No Friends in the Industry, that song actually, I think it stuck around for a little bit. It feels like from here, honestly, down, and I'm sure we can talk about it, but it feels like these, if not throwaways, I guess he was just putting them in. This to me is where Certified Lover Boy sort of suffers a little bit. The lack of structure. So like when it was promoted, Certified Lover Boy was supposed to be like this. You know, I think about like being toxic. You know, him, Drake saying that he's trying to get girls, literally like the covers a bunch of like emojis of pregnant women stuff. So like I assume it's going to be like a lot of love songs, where from here down, I honestly feel like he was just like, all right, I have a bunch of songs I haven't put out. Let me just throw them on here. Because honestly, he could have stopped the album a lot earlier than he did, but he put a lot of this stuff in. I don't really know what the direction is a little bit. Like, it's a fun song, it's hype. Mm-hmm. But I'm just like, did this need to be on an album called Certified Lover Boy? Like, I don't know.
Okay, I do agree with what you're saying, where I think the album lacks structure. Like, So for me personally, I like the bottom half of the album better. I like starting at Yubba's Heartbreak and Down. Those are my favorite songs.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really like the top half of the album, but does the bottom half of the album belong on an album called CLB?
Yeah.
Probably not. And like the first half of the album just is not, it's not very cohesive with the second half. So I was confused about the structure as well, but I was still like, okay, thank you for giving us these songs because I didn't like the first 10 songs.
In my opinion, he should have put a lot of these songs as singles. And I think that they would have like thrived as singles. They could have been like summer bops. Okay. They could have been a lot of good songs, in my opinion. But I feel like even numbers wise, I think a lot of these could have did way better on their own thing. Or if he did like a quick 2 to 4 song EP like he's done before.
Yes. I feel like he could have done an EP with maybe No Friends in the Industry.
Okay.
Maybe Race My Mind.
Okay.
Possibly Fountains.
Okay.
And then Effing Fans.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like he could have done an EP and called it completely different. Called it I don't know. I'm not on his PR or marketing team, so I'm not going to work for him. But yeah, absolutely, he could have done that. And I think that would have made a lot more sense for those songs and would have done those songs more justice. And it would have made more sense with him tying CLB together. Because, yeah, I was very confused about the structure as well. And, like, the order of the songs, too. Because you go from Yubba's Heartbreak,
mm-hmm.
Friends in the Industry,
mm-hmm.
The 21 Savage going, I'm Mr. Body.
Body Catcher.
And then to Race My Mind, where he's like singing his heart out, and then an Afrobeat song, and then Kid Cudi, and then Rick Ross. So, yeah.
He threw stuff together. He was just like, look.
He said, we have a deadline to make. That's what I'm talking about. Like, It just feels like he puts out music for the sake of putting out music without actually taking the time to hone and perfect his craft and each of his pieces. And that makes me sad because he used to be so great. So I'll just continue listening to, you know, Drake from 7 years ago. Yeah.
Now, I mean, we can just talk about the ones that kind of like stand out. Knife Talk. I mean, you said you want to talk about that. Yeah. I have a theory on the song because, towards the end of last year, 21 Savage dropped his album. It was like Savage Motel. Mm-hmm. This is a Metro Boomin song. Mm-hmm. It's 21 Savage is kind of running it. I mean, Project Pat to the beginning, but it's really like 21 Savage doing a hook, which Drake usually does the hook. So it's a little weird. I like it. But this feels like it was supposed to be on 21 Savage's album.
Mm-hmm.
And Drake was like, let me put on my album instead.
Yeah.
And that's just what ended up happening. But it's not a bad song in my opinion, and I'm sure you have your opinions on it. I like it because I think it's fun to listen to it like a single.
Yeah. Yeah.
But on an album called Certified Lover Boy, I don't think we need to hear about like street stuff.
Well, I mean, maybe that kind of ties into the concept of Drake being like, listen, I'm gonna do what I want.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care about, you know, relationships. I'm not going to be tied down. These are my priorities. But you're right. The song honestly does belong on Savage Mode 2. Because 21 Savage carried the song. Let's be honest. Like, I don't even remember what Drake sings. But it's a fun single. I love 21 Savage.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone knows this. So I was really happy when I saw that those two did another collaboration. But yeah, it did not make sense, especially sandwiched in between No Friends in the Industry and Race My Mind.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm actually just glad, sidebar, just to see how big 21 Savage has gotten. Because like, I don't know if you know what XXL is.
Mm-hmm. But like, 2016, Decipher, yeah.
Yeah.
Lil Uzi Vert. Really, that's just like the best freshman class that they've
had.
It's like Kodak Black, Lil Uzi, The only one that didn't blow up is Denzel Curry.
Unfortunately, he's good too.
He is good. I've seen him live. I really liked his stuff. Oh, my TV turned on accidentally.
Oh, no, you're good.
But just a side note about No Friends in the Industry, that's actually my favorite song.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I mean, what is it in your rotation now or like?
It will be, yeah. Well, okay, honestly, why does my TV keep turning on? I'm
sorry. You're fine.
Honestly, for the past couple months, I've been playing catch up, but then I've also been listening to a lot of like 2000s R&B, like Sierra, Aaliyah, Mary J. Blige. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. It's just something that I've been listening
to. There's nothing wrong with that.
I've been listening to a lot of Usher.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I love them. Well, I don't love Chris Brown. I love his voice. I think he's very talented, but I love Usher. Usher's never done anything to me.
I'm hoping like after episode 5, I can start like talking about like a lot of like older artists and old stuff. So I would love to get into that world.
Yes, I would love for you to do that.
Awesome. Okay.
So we can talk about it together.
I would love it.
Yes.
Personally, I mean, I'm just looking at the rest of the songs and I mean, you can stop me. But the only one I listen to out of the songs left is IMY2. That's the one with Cudi.
Mm-hmm. I was disappointed by that.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Why? What's up?
I don't even remember it. And I love Kid Cudi. So I had high hopes. Mm-hmm. And I have really high expectations because Kid Cudi is one artist that doesn't release music for the sake of releasing music. Like I would not call him a commercial musician. So I was like, okay, maybe he'll be able to balance Drake out, reel him back in. And it just, that feature did nothing. For me. Yeah. Kind of sad.
See, it's another one of those songs where Drake's not like the hook, which is weird. Mm-hmm. He's usually the hook. So I also feel like it was a Cudi song.
Okay.
And then he threw him on here. I personally did not care for it originally. But then Drake and Kanye recently did the Free Larry Hoover concert.
Yeah.
And he performed it and I was like, whoa, like I see where the aesthetic can come in. So like I started appreciating it like literally like last week. but I didn't care for it originally. So I see why you feel that way. Cudi and Drake actually were beefing for a while too, and they were both like taking shots at each other like a couple years ago, and they just were not cordial. And then when they came out with this, I was like, oh, okay, so they must be cool now. So
honestly, Drake is probably just the problem, because how do you have beef with Meek Mill, Pusha T, Kanye, and Kid Cudi?
And there's more than that, but
I'm sorry, I can't even talk. I can't talk this morning, but Kid Cudi just minds his business.
Yeah.
So for you to have beef with someone like Kid Cudi, you must be doing something wrong.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But, you know, I think he made it work. I think that Kid Cudi is starting to come back into the mainstream. I think he's trying to make it work out again. I like it. But yeah, Drake is just toxic. I mean, he knows he's toxic, but it's like almost like he's going on this apology tour recently because he squashed the beef with Meek, squashed it with Tory, squashed it with Chris Brown, squashed it with Kanye. Now, I feel like he's trying to squash all his beef minus like Pusha T. I think he said that he has no interest in making that fine. And I mean, I get it.
Definitely crossed the line.
Yeah. But all right, I mean, we basically talked about like everything important with this album.
Mm-hmm.
Hannah, out of a 1 to 10, where do you put Certified Lover Boy?
Maybe like a 5.
Okay.
Maybe a 6.
Mm-hmm.
But okay, because I love Drake's old music and old sound, as I've said several times throughout this interview.
Mm-hmm.
No, this is hard because, okay, so like I loved Drake singing in Race My Mind. I loved the Afrobeats influence in Fountains. I liked the melody. I liked how, you know, he found a way to incorporate Lil Wayne and Rick Ross, who are two legends in hip hop. Because you can't really have a Drake album without having Lil Wayne, let's be honest. I loved the melody of Effing Fans, and I liked the piano and the softness of The Remorse, which is his closer. Although I wouldn't have preferred that song as his closer. It didn't give very much. There was no like substance there besides that piano, besides the background music. So I liked the bottom half, didn't like the top half. The concept doesn't make sense. So maybe like a 5.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, a 5. If Take Care and Nothing Was the Same were 10s, then I would give CLB like a 5, maybe like a 6.
Okay. Like in comparison to his other albums, it's a very mid album.
Yeah.
Like, so 5 is very poopy. I would give it a 5. So
definitely in his bottom 4.
Oh, bottom 4. Ah, one of these days I need to rank all of them. I think I want to rank all of them one day.
I might just do it on Twitter. Because I like, I'll be like, okay, give me an album, give me an artist, and then I'll like rank their album. So I just did The Weeknd. I'm a huge The Weeknd fan. And I did Trilogy is my favorite one.
Okay.
And then I did I think Beauty Behind the Madness, and then Starboy, and then After Hours, something like that. But that's something fun that I like to do on Twitter.
Okay. I'm definitely want to jump into The Weeknd too. Like I'm very hyped to like start talking about artists outside of 2021, but yeah, like I agree. But yeah, I mean, that's Certified Lover Boy. Spoke about Drake for a little bit. Yeah, I mean, that's basically everything. It's an okay album. It's cool. Yeah. I think he did get some Grammy nominations. I think he pulled them out. Yeah, but I think he pulled them out of some categories because I don't think he thinks that he's going to win some of them, which fair assumption because he's going against like what Tyler the Creator, he's going against Kanye. I think he's going against Nas and a couple. He's going against some heavy competition, so I can see why he will pull it out. But
we get Grammy nominations in The Weeknd still hasn't been nominated for a Grammy. Like that is bizarre to me. Bizarre. Yeah.
I'm not the biggest fan of those award shows, like at all. Actually. Yeah. So
they're biased. Yeah.
The moment Macklemore beat Kendrick,
Tweeted about that. I did. Cause I think I tweeted like, do you guys ever lie in bed at night thinking about how Macklemore beat To Pimp a Butterfly? Or no, it was Good Kid, Mad City in 2014. Uh-huh. And Forest Hills Drive, and he beat Nothing Was the Same. He
beat a lot of classic albums.
Yes, like some of the best albums from the 2010s. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh my God.
It's a shame, honestly.
And didn't Taylor Swift beat Beyonce? Oh yeah, the infamous like VMAs. Yeah.
I think that was the year that made me like clock out of like award shows. I don't really pay attention to them anymore. I don't pay attention to movie award shows, music award shows, any of that. I don't care about them anymore. Because there's a lot of like bias and you actually have to like kiss a lot of people's feet just to like really like get recognition and stuff. It's a mess. So I don't care about it anymore.
No, Isaiah.
Yeah. But all right, Hannah, thank you for talking to me. This was a very fun time. This is probably my favorite one. Hannah, where can people find you? What are you up to?
Well, thank you so much for saying that. I had so much fun today as well, talking about music, which is something that I think you and I both love. That's evident from the conversation that I've had with you. But you can find me on Twitter and TikTok at Hannah_Chata. And you can find me on Instagram at Hannah Chata.
All right. And like usual, you can find me at 8BallBangers on Instagram, Twitter, and as well as you can look at my other podcast channel called The Sonnet Podcast, where we talk about reality television, anime, cartoons, and all that other fun stuff. Hopefully we can see you over there at some point, Hannah.
Yes. I mean, I'm a huge Bravo fan, Real Housewives and VPR and Summer House stan. So just let me know.
All right. Until next time. Thank you, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.